Your education, first school you attended, elementary school there in Bloomington?
Washington grade school. In those days, you went through the ninth grade, and then you went to high school. For 3 years, I went to Bloomington High School. Flunked geometry my third year, so I had to go to summer school. And I went to summer school at University High School in Normal, Illinois, which is next door. The normal school had a lab school. I ended up at University High School, which was the best thing ever happened to me.
Why?
Because I had the greatest teachers. Ruth Stroud was the greatest teacher I ever had. She taught English Lit, particularly Shakespeare. She was so good, she'd have the football team quoting Shakespeare back and forth on the bus on the way to games. That's how good she was. She was amazing. She just opened the world up.
Despite the fact you flunked geometry, overall you were probably a pretty good student?
No, I wasn't. Not until then. I was probably a little dyslexic. So I went to University High School. All of a sudden, whammo, it all came.
When did you graduate from high school?
1953.
Let's go back to 1941, December 7th. I think you would have been about 15, 16 years old. Do you have any recollection of that day?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I remember I'd been to church that Sunday morning. I came home and the news. My first thought was, I hope it's not over until I get into it. I mean, that was the very first thing crossed my mind. Because my father, having been a veteran and having grown up with the American Legion, and he was a hero to me. So I thought, well, that's what I'll do.
What church had you attended?
Presbyterian Church.
Family?
Mm-hmm. That was my mother's church. My father's family were, I think, disciples of Christ. Neither grandfather wanted any part of anything. My grandfather refused to be baptized, even Grandfather Young. And my other grandfather, he was too mean to be baptized. I don't know.
Back to that Sunday, December 7th, 41, and the days after that. Remember men signing up for the war?
Oh,
how
yeah.
did it affect the community? Were they nervous, afraid?
Mm-mm. They were all gung-ho. First World War, the whole communities went together when they went. My father's company was made up of young men from Pontiac, Illinois, and Aurora, Illinois, those two communities. Well, that wasn't the way it was going to be in the Second World War because they'd learned their lesson. Whole towns could have been wiped, or were wiped out, you know. So this time it was different, but the sense of the thing was it was going to be like that again, and there would be this camaraderie. Everybody was going together. Well, they went together all right, but they separated you. But it was partly that. And partly that whole period in the 20s, which was hyper-patriotic. I can remember as a kid marching in the Memorial Day parades with my father and his buddies. So this was part of it, and I was going to be a part of something like that. That was what was crossing my mind. And I think it was pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody signed up. I heard very, very little anti-war sentiment. I don't think there was any.
You never faced the draft.
Well, yeah. Since I was too young to go at first. They put me to work at the Sunday school because all the guys had gone off to war. And at U-High, I ended up being in the university band and things like that because all the older guys were gone away. And at the church, they got me teaching Sunday school when I was 13, 14 years old, which was a bad mistake because... Well, I remember I had a lesson thing that they gave you. You were supposed to follow it. And it had to do with the land of Abraham. And I thought, well, that's fascinating. My grandfather had a set of encyclopedias. And I remember I looked it up in the encyclopedia and found out about Abraham and Ur and on Iraq and what is now Iran. I thought that was most fascinating. So that's what I gave the kids. And they said that was more information than I was supposed to be disseminating. One of the first cracks in my Calvinism was right then and there. But I'd gotten active. And the minister of that church, he was a mentor of mine, a guy by the name Daniel J. Gretzinger.
And again, this was the Presbyterian church.
He said, why don't you go in the ministry? So I decided to do that. I decided to become a Presbyterian minister. Went under the care of Session and the Presbytery and was pre-registered at McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago, already go to college. So I had a deferment first year. But it was in that first year that I read myself out of my Calvinism. and no longer could in good conscience. So I enlisted in the Navy and ended up getting a little late in, and I had 1 year of college. But I ended up being a signalman. First went to sea with the armed guard, which was Navy crew aboard the merchant ship. And then when the war in Europe was over, I went to Guam and was on the signal tower in the Apra Harbor in Guam.
So we're talking 1945 and 46, and then...
And then I got out and went to Illinois Wesleyan University in my hometown, pre-med, because I wanted to do something useful. I didn't think the ministry was particularly useful, so I couldn't hit a target with anything, in other words. I'd read my way out of my Calvinism in college, and I read my way out of my Christianity in the Navy, and I threw the Bible over the side because, well, I was reading, and it said, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I threw the Bible over the side.
Tell us why. Why did that scripture cause you to do that?
Because I wanted evidence. And they said, evidence of things not seen. Give me a break. What are we talking about here? This is faith. And I said, you're not going to be able to hit a target. I need math. I need science. I don't need something as obscure as that. And it took me, well, better part of 20 years to get the Bible back after that.
But you didn't need a rule book on how to live.
Exactly. A recipe book on how to live. So I went to pre-med, and I did my undergraduate work in pre-med. Until one of my buddies, a fraternity brother, came back. He'd gone through medical school while we were in the service. And he came back to practice for a little while his younger brother went on to medical school. He and I buddied up, and I used to scrub with him. Science lab, I mean, it was unbelievable because that was a quarter system. Everybody was just gung-ho. And I had comparative anatomy and organic chemistry back-to-back labs and stuff like that. And I used to go out in front of the science hall. There was a tree out in front of the science hall. I'd lie under it and groan. And he finally said to me, why are you doing it? You hate it. And I said, well, you know, what am I going to do? He says, why did you think about going back in the ministry? Because we used to have these long religious arguments into the deeps of night, he and a couple other buddies. He says, why don't you think about maybe take a year off on the GI Bill and go to seminary and get all these questions answered for all of us? He was a Unitarian, I should say. He had converted most of the Sigma Chi house to Unitarianism while he was the president of the fraternity. So we were out drinking beer one night. We were on our second pitcher, I think. I said, well, who can me? I don't believe in any of this stuff. He said, well, the Unitarians will take anybody. I said, well, yeah, but where do they go to school? He said, Harvard and Chicago. He said, heads, they take a year off on the GI Bill and go to seminary. Tails, you go to medical school. I came up heads. And I said, well, where are you going? He said, Harvard or Chicago, I guess. Came up Chicago. That was my call to the ministry.
A flip of the coin. Do you think if it had gone the other way, you really would have stayed in pre-med?
I have no idea.
Okay, but you went with the flip of the coin. As we talk to many ministers, they will always say they felt a call from God on their life to enter the ministry. Uh-huh. So was this flip of the coin the call of God?
No, I'm too familiar with him to know that. I mean, he and I have had this contest going on for better part of 60 years, longer than that, actually. And I've been known to call him an SOB from the pulpit. Matter of fact, on one occasion, I did call him an SOB from the pulpit. 2 weeks after that, a tornado came through Tulsa and hit Oral Roberts. And I said, see, missed again. Or as Woody Allen would say, God is an underachiever. So we've had this little, Clayton can tell you about my contest with the Almighty. So a call from God, I doubt it. I mean, I would be the last person in the world.